Blog Talk Radio.
They abandoned their belief in the supernatural. Now you are asking me to sabotage that achievement, to send them back into the dark ages of superstition and ignorance and fear? No!
You are listening to the Pink Atheist Podcast with your host, Rachel Jones.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Pink Atheist. I am your host, Rachel Johnson. Welcome to the Friday edition. We have made it through another week. It is July 31st, 2020. We have a lot of topics today. One of them is Jared Kushner and the article on Vanity Fair. We're going to talk about Russian bounties on American soldiers, the NRA, and working with right-wing politicians in Australia. Stephen Miller, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, police violence, Obama at the John Lewis funeral. And so we're going to go ahead and get started. I hope that your week has gone okay. I know that for a lot of people out there, there's a lot of worry and concern going on, and I hope to touch on everything today. But we're going to go ahead and get started. The first thing I want to talk about, and the most important, is the article or out online from Vanity Fair with Jared Kushner. Now, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it's definitely worth the read. It goes over a lot of details of when the coronavirus first hit, came to America. Jared Kushner, who's been tasked with a lot of things under his father-in-law's regime, was tasked with coming up with a plan for testing moving forward, how to deal with the virus. Instead of Jared Kushner going to the CDC, consulting with scientists, medical doctors, the World Health Organization, instead of him doing that, he went and talked to bankers, rich individuals. So what he set himself up for, and by the way, he did this through WhatsApp. And if you don't know what WhatsApp is, it is a phone app. It is not a federally allowed usage. It's not something that the government typically allows for use, because anyone who works for the government, all of their information, all of the things, contacts, what was said, to whom it was said, has to be kept track of. So he's using this WhatsApp. And he's talking to bankers. Somehow what he managed to do was to get in, and this is going to be a shock for a lot of people, because Americans have said for months, where are the tests? Where are the tests? Where are the tests? So remember, think back to when everything first started and Trump was like, oh, yeah, we're going to have 2-3 million tests here. What happens is, somehow Jared Kushner brokers this deal with Saudi Arabia. Now, why Saudi Arabia? I think if you look into Kushner's past and his history of business dealings, he has a lot to do in Saudi Arabia. That's for another day. What does matter is that 3.5 million coronavirus tests came into this country. Now, he had brokered this through bankers, not through scientists. These tests were disseminated around the country, and they started to be used, and then a lab checked the tests. And unfortunately, because Jared Kushner did his back alley deal, these tests were contaminated. They could not be used. Okay? Now, so we have all of these tests that are completely useless. As data starts ramping up, from the point where he starts his backdoor dealing, talking to bankers, leveling information back and forth, who knows what was said, because once again, this wasn't something that was tracked. This is just now coming out. What happened was he started gathering this data on where the coronavirus was exploding, who was suffering, and what was going on. Now, anyone who lived inside of the United States could see exactly what happened. Our coronavirus originated in Europe. So we know that business people, persons, coming and going from Europe are the ones who brought this back in the country. Once those people were back and they had exposed more Americans to the virus, and it had disseminated through frontline workers and the poor, they realized that the effects were taking place in a majority Democratic state. So as he was ramping up this plan, and through what procedures we don't know, because how he was going to organize it, there was no true organization, because he would have had to been in contact with the CDC. He would have had to be in contact with governors, states, and local. There is procedure for all of this, none of which Jared Kushner used, okay? As he saw the data coming out, he decided what was going to happen was nothing. When Jared Kushner learned that the majority of people infected and dying was in Democratic-led states, the policy of the White House, the policy of Jared Kushner became, let them suffer. What they were planning to do at the point of let's do nothing, okay, was that they were going to then blame the mismanagement of the coronavirus on the Democratic governors, let those states suffer. All of this happens in a time lapse, okay, because from March when we started to shut down because the virus was here, then the virus rate started growing. So when this happens is pivotal, because at the end, around the middle to the end of April, okay, this is when they had verification that the people getting sick and dying were minorities, were in Democratic areas. This is why at the end of April they started the push to reopen. And this is why we are where we are now. Politics became the game changer. Something that should never have been politicized was immediately politicized. There was never a situation where the White House, where Jared Kushner took this to a place where he organized it with the important departments who should have been activated and put in place from the beginning. He took it on himself to contact rich businessmen, broker billion-dollar deals. And by the way, Saudi Arabia did come looking for their money. Inevitably, they wanted paid even though those tests, they weren't sterile. And sterile, it matters so significantly because contaminated tests, you can get any kind of results. And ultimately, they were worthless to all of us sitting here waiting, you know, to see if our loved ones and our fellow countrymen died. But they still wanted paid for those tests, so they came looking for it, and this is how it got discovered. Because when people started asking questions about who should be writing the check, well, suddenly everything was uncovered that this was what had happened. So we only know about this now because the demand for payment came through. There was no officer in charge of taking possession of these, signing off on them, signing off on what we were supposed to be paying for them. Instead, what happened was mass chaos around this. And all of it, ultimately, the paperwork and the trail led back to Jared Kushner and Jared Kushner alone. And so now we understand that when it became clear and evident who was going to suffer the massive, devastating blow from this, which is, of course, minorities, because they tend to be first frontline workers. They tend to be in situations where they are absolutely have to work. Work at stores, work at delivery, work in hospitals, work in elderly care centers. And the policy of this freaking government became let them suffer. Well, now the situation has turned. And, you know, something that has just happened this morning and may still be ongoing is that Dr. Fauci was testifying before Congress. because of all of this, because they're asking, we're starting to ask the first question, what happened? What went wrong? And we can look back, but it's not actually fixing the situation that we're in right now. All right, but it is important to see how we got here and how we're going to move forward. So Dr. Fauci was testifying this morning, and one of the things that he said was that unlike Europe, because Europe has had, they had their initial spike, their numbers escalated, then they plateaued, and then they completely dropped down to, I wouldn't say a more desirable level, because nobody wants anybody that they love to die of this, but I would say to a degree where things were getting back to normal and it was looking good. Now, today I heard that the UK is seeing a surge in cases again and that they have gone ahead and said that they're not going to move to level 3 opening because the risk is too high. But for a while, they were doing a lot better, and especially any nation has been doing better than us. Now, as I said, it's taken a turn, so they were asking Dr. Fauci what happened, what changed. And he was saying that, look, Europe, the cases started to surge. They saw this. They shut everything down. The cases plateaued and dropped. And the reason that they're doing so much better is that they took longer to open up more things. The U.S., however, never fully went into the comprehensive plan that had been set up to safeguard American citizens. And then some states never fully regarded this, never mandated masks, never did everything the right way, and then turned around and under the direction of Donald Trump, opened everything up without regard. And those people are now suffering immensely to the point where we have Texas telling people to go home and die. We have death panels in this country deciding who is of valuable for the future of this nation. And if you don't rate, you go home to die. But as Dr. Fauci pointed out today, that's because this administration, that was the policy of this administration. Let them suffer. Donald Trump is the biggest let them eat cake of all. All right? That's how we got here today. That's why our numbers have never fully gone down as far as they could. That's why we are having so many problems here in my state. The lowest we saw was about in the low 400s, 500s a day. And now we have escalated back up to yesterday's numbers were 1,733 new cases. That's a lot because we are on track to become the next Florida or Texas. Those states are still seeing 10,000 a day. We have approximately 4.5 million infected Americans right now. We have lost 154,000 American lives. All because of Jared Kushner's new plan, let them die. That article outlines the cruelty of this administration. At no time should a pandemic ever be partisan. It matters to them now because the states where they know they get the most voters, they're seeing a drop-off of those people. Those people are the ones dying now. And it's shocking to me that anybody could be so hard as to say it's not our political party. Let's let them die. We'll go ahead and politicize this. We'll go ahead and when November is coming, we'll say, look how the Democrats didn't run their states well. So you died, knowing that what they did was drop the ball as soon as they saw who was being affected by this the most. It's shocking, really. If I lived under Obama and he did this exact play, I would be infuriated. I would no longer want to associate with a political party who did this to anyone. I don't care who you vote for. Your vote should not decide whether your government thinks you should live or die. Or your family, your loved ones. Grandpas and grandmas should not be fodder. We should not be throwing them to the wolves. Nor should we do it to our children. But to find out that Jared Kushner walked away and just dropped the ball and said, let them die. And now it's backfiring on them. Now the country is even worse off. The GDP is worse off. We're losing more Americans daily. Everyone is suffering. All because of one man, the son-in-law of Donald fucking Trump. All because of him. Because he felt like it was okay to politicize the safety of Americans. Not acceptable. Which brings me to my next topic, the politicizing of more of Americans. Russian bounties on American soldiers. Now, many of you may have heard this story or may have not. But back in early March, Donald Trump was given intel, I'm very furious right now. Donald Trump was given intel about Russian bounties on American soldiers' heads. Now, he gets a daily briefing on his desk, whether or not he reads it. Now, and another thing is that people have said that it was literally told to him, because I don't believe that he reads. And I do believe that he has to have information stated to him because his attention span is that of a dead fruit fly. So he learned about this, and it's been 35 days since America, ourselves, the people of the United States, have learned about Russian bounties on American soldiers. And he has not said a word. He did, however, invite Putin, even after that, much after that, to the G7. Three soldiers were killed. And it's likely that Russia paid a bounty for them having been murdered. We don't know of more, and the coronavirus has kept engagements low. So we haven't had as many interactions, but even three lives is more than zero lives, and there should never be an acceptable moment in time when it's okay for Russia to put a bounty on the heads of American soldiers and us to stand idly by. Once again, politicking at the cost of American lives. It's disgusting. When this was known, and you know, I've seen articles that this has been a policy long time. And now I totally understand how Obama was dealing with Putin, how previous presidents were standing strong. Okay? America isn't flawless, but we certainly don't want this. Because as soon as it's okay to put a bounty on the heads of our soldiers, none of them are safe. Trump couldn't stand up to Putin if he borrowed someone else's spine for a day. This man is weak-kneed. I am very assured in that many Americans, including people who were previously on his side, have decided he's not worth the time. He's not worth the vote. It's disgusting. Our soldiers, you know, they're protecting this nation. They're protecting other nations. Many of them are out there doing good. They're not just brutes. They're human beings. And seeing as how he's supposed to be commander-in-chief, his first job is to ensure that his military is taken care of. And it's disgusting. 35 days, everyone. He has not said anything, but he sure did invite them to G7 to try to make it the G8 again. Germany did decline that, and once again, that was what I was saying yesterday about us pulling soldiers out of Germany, I do believe it's fully linked to the fact that they declined allowing Putin. All right. Our next story that we're going to talk about real quick is the NRA working with right-wing politicians in Australia. This was a report from Al Jazeera. They called the report How to Sell a Massacre. So apparently, Pauline Hanson, she is a racist politician in Australia. She is right-wing. A man named Roger Mueller, who has nothing to do with R. Mueller, he began a platform where he got himself attention, and then over time he got her attention, and they decided that, hey, they would meet with the NRA here in America, which has been an organization that has taken money, illegal money, from China and has been caught at it. But apparently their push was that they wanted to sell the brand of guns in Australia. And this is problematic because Pauline Hanson is a racist against Chinese settlers in Australia. And if you've ever looked at the history of what's been going on in America with guns and the NRA, then you understand that the NRA comes in, they lobby for more guns, more people get guns, they sell fear. What happens is people get guns, people who shouldn't even have guns get guns, and the next thing that you know, you have deadly massacres going on in your country. And especially when you have the likes of people who are racist, outwardly racist, and willing to sell racism as a fear tactic. And our country should be an example to other nations to don't follow this path. This is a dark and dirty path. We have had numerous mass shootings. We have had numerous people die because of gun violence, and especially related to racism, and especially related to the LGBTQ community. This is a bad idea. And it's very astounding to know that the NRA is willing to not only, because you have to understand, the NRA is supposed to be an American organization, national, right? National Rights Association for the guns, national gun rights. That's not international. So when they're taking their platform overseas or even trying to leech their platform overseas, this becomes more, something more seedy and dark. Because you're not only trying to convince Americans to be terrified of foreigners and be racist and get guns, but you're trying to convince a whole other country to follow the same failed model. And it has failed miserably. The only people that were thriving out of this is the NRA. They were making millions off of the backs of selling fear and paranoia and hate and discrimination. Because trust me, when the police used guns against the people, the NRA did not show up. When things have gone wrong for people in America, when you have mass shooters, the NRA doesn't take credit for any of that. They're not going to stand up. They're going to call them lone wolves. They're going to say that they represent what the NRA does. But I'll tell you what, without the NRA, you wouldn't have the radicalization. You wouldn't have the mass shooters. And to find out that they're going to another country to do this, it is terrifying. Because let me tell you, if you're in Australia and you're listening to this, one thing you do not want is a ton of fear, paranoia, racism, hate, and guns involved in it. Because where you get guns, all of that together, it's a recipe for a massacre. No country needs to go through that. We have lost children in their schools. There is a father that I follow on Twitter who misses his sweet daughter, and he is brokenhearted daily. because she was one of the children that was murdered on Valentine's Day. Trust me. One thing that you don't want is this recipe. This is not something you need to cook with. If you are a good nation, if you are a caring nation, if you are a quality nation, don't follow the NRA model for success, because it is not success. It is how to have mass murderers in your nation. All right? Which brings me to, you know, all of these things interlink. You have so many horrible things when racism gets a hold of your country. It's not a good place to be. But I want to talk about Stephen Miller on Fox News, all right? And I don't know how he's married, but he is. I saw his wife today. He's walking. He's not holding the umbrella for her. He's being a disaster of a husband, smiling at the cameras, just going on. But he was on Fox News. And he said that sending in whatever you want to call them, I call them mercenaries, to Portland and other cities was because Black Lives Matter protesters are violent and arsonists. Now, the facts don't support his racism. Many arrests for the damage to buildings and the arson has been linked to other groups outside of Black Lives Matter. But he's on Fox News, so it doesn't matter what the facts truly say. The important part for Stephen Miller here is to sell the idea. And he knows who he's talking to when he goes on Fox News. Because you get a lot of really racist people, elderly people, terrified whites, listening to Fox News, and he knows that. They're not going to be checking into the facts of who was arrested and what the case was. Instead, they're going to be listening to people like Stephen Miller, who is a Jewish man who clearly hates his own identity. And I wanted to talk about that because here's the deal. Black Lives Matter is an important movement. A majority of the people there are nonviolent protesters. They are just people who want to see their communities safe at the hands of police. They want to see them safe in general. They want to be allowed to go about their day without worrying that the police will arrest them, harass them, treat them bad, okay? They don't have links to violence. A majority of these protests have been led by nonviolent people. You won't catch that on the news. The news sells excitement, ratings. They want to show you the most violent things. But a majority of these protests, and they have continued since George Floyd was murdered, they have continued forward. Many cities still have them. They're just not violent. What they're showing you is Portland, Oregon, because Trump wanted the clicks. He wanted the ratings and the views so that he could use that. And I'll tell you, it hasn't been a really successful platform because today Trump has decided to pull his ads, okay, off of various states and try to revamp them because it's not working. A majority of Americans stand with Black Lives Matter. It's just not going the way that he foresaw it. And I don't think Trump knows how to turn his Titanic around. He has no fresh and new ideas. But I wanted to talk about Antifa, which is a buzzword on Fox News as well, and it has everything to do with Black Lives Matter. Because here's the deal. Racists will say, oh, Antifa and Black Lives Matter are a bunch of violent thugs, and they're in the street, and they're destroying property. There is no organization called Antifa. There's no set of people, there's no meetings, they don't have a headquarters, they don't gather together. This is something said by the FBI. And this is important to note, because Antifa stands for anti-fascism. Anti-fascism. I don't understand how anybody could be pro-fascism. The country we're living in today that I don't understand, but especially the pro-fascism faction in this country, that we see. And here's the thing. I've noticed lately that they've dropped the buzzword, because when a majority of Democrats started saying, you do realize Antifa, anti-fascism, is the kind of behavior that happened in World War II. Those were a bunch of anti-fascists who fought against Germany and fascism. And so I think that because the buzzword really didn't take like they thought it would, they have dropped it and leveled it out. But there is no organization for this. That's like saying that our military is Antifa. Because basically, the idea is that if a fascist regime is murdering their people, another country's people, and invading, that we would again go to war. I don't know under Donald Trump. I don't know that he would fight a mosquito unless he made $1 million. But typically, that's how it goes. You know, you want to have a strong leader who sets a good example and a moral example. And then another thing that I wanted to talk about really quickly, Dr. Fauci is at the hearings today. He mentioned, a gentleman by the name of Mr. Foster was speaking during the hearing. And he was talking to Dr. Fauci, and he was speaking about during the Obama administration, plans had been set up for dealing with COVID or another pandemic, but also another thing that had happened early on back in 2013 was that the government had signed a contract with a company that was going to use a new form of creating vaccinations so that should a mass pandemic occur, those vaccines could be ready quicker with less time, less overall cost to the population, and be ready to go. Now, what happened to that is anyone's guess. It's certainly not mine. But he was talking about mRNA vaccines. And I'm just one second going to explain that to you. mRNA stands for messenger RNA. So RNA, and a messenger tells the cell what protein to create. So it's like if I tell you that I want you to build a box, you know what a box looks like. You're going to go, and it's quicker than if I just said to you, I want you to build something because something's going on. That's a vague message, and then the body takes a little longer to get the message about what it should be doing. But if I say to you, go build me a box, you understand what a box is. You can go build the box. So messenger RNA vaccines would be something quick and simple that says, hey, there's an intruder. You need to put up the defenses. And the cells would react and say, warning, there's an intruder, and then your whole body would go on defense. But mRNA vaccines are basically like, hey, we need to build antibodies. Something's out there. And it goes ahead and it programs the T cells so that they're ready for defense should they encounter this virus. They look for specific proteins in that virus that trigger their reaction to it, attack it, and destroy it. It's a really great idea. It's a good thing that Obama signed off on it. Where that's at, no one knows, because the Trump administration had a lot of budget cuts, had done away with a lot that the Obama administration had set into place to protect us, and so here we are in the middle of a chaotic disaster. Not only was there a plan that, to let Democrats die, but it was I don't even know where this is. This is a great idea. And Dr. Fauci is saying that they're going into the third stages of trials on a vaccine and that it should be ready by the end of September, early October, if all goes well. It will take 3 months. So if all goes well, they have 30,000 people lined up to test the vaccine. and then they will see. They said in the first stage, it had done better than those who were given antibodies from people who had previously had COVID. So hopefully it will survive the trials, do well, and here in a little over 3 months or around 3 months, everything should be in place. And this is so vital because if it goes well, it, you know, you give the vaccine, unfortunately, you're exposed to everything and everyone around you. And I don't think that they're purposely exposing them then to coronavirus. But they'll wait and see, do you build the antibodies? If anyone becomes exposed, does it fail? What is any allergic reaction? Any side effects from this? All those kinds of things will be looked at. Then they have to go through the process of analyzing the outcoming data and seeing that after they've had this vaccine, you know, is it good to go? Is it going to be enough, good enough for the general population? So if all goes well, hopefully by October, you know, we should have some kind of vaccine. But you have to cross your fingers in these things because they don't always pan out. Sometimes they make it to the third stage and then, you know, somebody's tongue starts going numb or they suddenly have nightmares they've never had before, or dry mouth or all sorts of side effects. So it doesn't make it through to approval. So fingers crossed on that one. It could be something good for our future. And another topic that I wanted to talk about, and I've said something about it for the last few days, and I'm going to keep hammering on it because it's so important, is Nancy Pelosi and the HEROES Act. I was listening to her speak today, and I truly admire this woman because she is like a boulder in a storm that she just weathers it all and takes it in stride. And you can tell she's a very intelligent woman. There are times when she's trying to find the right words and keep her mind with everything that's going on around her centered into that place. But she is an amazing woman, and I really want to give her credit because she has been our rock through this all. And she was talking about the $600 of pandemic unemployment or unemployment that's extra in helping people. And, you know, I want to make a very valid point here. Somebody else brought this up, and I'm going to go ahead and take it over and throw it out there like it was my great, fabulous idea. So they said this, more Americans out in the public working increases spread rate. And they are so correct. I forget who said it, but I love that they said it, and I'm currently stealing it. They are correct. If we put 30 more million Americans to work in some arena and we put them out with the public, what do we get? 30 more million Americans that we have to expose to anything and everything. We get more chances that this coronavirus will increase. It's a good idea at this point to let there be unemployed people. You may say, well, they just want to sit on their butts at home and collect a check. Well, them sitting at home on their bus collecting a check means A, they're sitting at home. B, they're sitting at home. And that's important. People should be staying at home. Staying at home more often. You know, I was fascinated and yet shocked whenever one of the big banks did a study on people who go out to eat and sit in a restaurant. And they said, a person who goes out to eat and sits in the restaurant is more likely to get coronavirus than at home. Now we have businesses that are starting to go under and collapse. We're going to have more unemployed because Dunkin' Donuts just said that they're going to close about 250 stores by the end of this year. They're restructuring their model. Starbucks has cut back on employees. Okay, Starbucks, the multi-billion-dollar coffee company, has cut back their employees to make up for the hazard pay that they gave them. Now, they aren't really hurting. They made sales overall. They were one of the places that stayed open and continued to be busy. But they cut back employees. They cut back their hours. They cut them back so bad that now they only have two people on the floor. What are we supposed to do? America is in a current economic slump. It's in a crisis. But more importantly, it's highly infectious and dangerous. Let people stay home, especially if you know that you have people who are more vulnerable. Let them stay home. Pay them to stay home. What is so senseless about that? Why are people so up in arms over things like that? We should be caring about each other's safety. If someone can't work because it would cost them their life to do so, then we should have the level of compassion that says, for you, for this time, because I don't want you to suffer and die, stay home. And I don't care if you're a Republican or a Libertarian. You shouldn't have to suffer and die just because you need a paycheck. It's unacceptable in every form. Stay home. 30 million Americans. Oh, we are in a big mess, people. We are in a huge mess. And it's because we have a leader who is more self-involved with ratings than he is involved with how are the people of America doing. We get caught up in this. I look at all of it, and it all ties together. Everything that I'm going over ties together into Donald Trump can't show leadership. He can't and he won't. He's not a leader. He thinks it's all about the ratings, the clicks, the good stuff, the highs he feels when people clap for him. He doesn't think that it's about actual living individuals. In the state where I am, I'm in one of the counties that has, we are the second highest in the state for COVID infections. We currently have, and it may sound like little, but each day it keeps going up. We have over 4,000 people currently sick in my county. In my county alone. In my state, we are nearing 90,000 cases over the entirety of this. But many of those, at least 1,300 a day, are sick. So we are increasing. We are increasing by hundreds a day of new sick people in just my area. The deaths are starting to rise. They went down for a while. Now we're back up to 40. One day we had 125. It's sort of like moving in waves. We get somebody exposes their friends. They go to a party. They go to the beach. They go to a pool. They go to wherever. They expose some people. Boop, boop. A few days later, we get more infections, more infections. Next thing you know, we've got hospitalizations, then the sick, and then increased in dying. Oh, such a disaster. And if you're frustrated, I feel your pain because every day I wake up and I'm like, let me see what he destroyed today. Let's see what crazy crap. I don't even have, like, the hope, the anticipation that I used to, that maybe today things will be better. The one thing I can say, though, is about Nancy Pelosi and her holdout for support and the Dems that have been working hard. I think that definitely she is going to fight for that 600 to stay. I know that even the Trump administration themselves wants to send out another $1,200 stimulus. So that's kind of something to look forward to. But in the same token, we have a lot of sick Americans. And I sit here and I wonder, and I don't know if anybody else does, maybe it's just me, but I wonder, like, you have frontline workers, you have poor people, okay, they come up sick with COVID. What are they going to do? A lot of these people can't afford to not work. We should have funding that if you are positive for coronavirus for 1 month, the state should take care of you. It's not too much to ask, because you may be hospitalized. You may be sick. These are poor people. We're not talking about millionaires. We're talking about the average worker. How are they going to pay their rent if they wind up in the hospital on a ventilator? What about their children? What about their bills? What about their food? They can't go out. They can't go shopping. We have failed in every dynamic because these people should have hope. They should have a chance to move forward, to know that their country is there for them. That if you do test positive, you should be able to look forward to, we've got you this month. And what if it's not over this month? Some people are sick for 3 and 4 months. The state should be like, well, we're going to monitor your health. If you're still having symptoms and seeing your doctor about COVID-related items, you know, have your doctor write a note. I am continuing to treat this patient because of X, Y, or Z kind of complications, and the state should be able to help you. We have failed the citizens of this country so much that they can't even expect the basic level of human dignity or care. Instead, people like Mitch McConnell want to build new billion-dollar FBI buildings. They want to spend billions on fighter jets that don't even work. These F-35s are notorious for not working. They do not function. And yet we keep sinking millions and millions into them. And I don't care if they did work. Now is not the time. The military has a bloated budget. It's on its own. We don't need to include that in a stimulus package. F-35 jets aren't going to take people to the hospital. They're going to make anybody feel better. They're going to take care of families when they're evicted. Why do we need that now? Why is that an important thing in this country when people are suffering and dying? Why can't we concentrate on our fellow countrymen without adding barrels and barrels of pork for corporations and Donald Trump himself? Because Trump asked for that FBI building. He wanted it rebuilt there because, you know what, he doesn't want that competition. That shouldn't be the state of what we're looking at for when we're trying to survive a pandemic. I understand that Democrats typically will negotiate and concede some things because Republicans are all about the corporate pork. Democrats are all about serving the poor. But it's so blatant and obvious in the middle of a disaster how misconstrued things are in our country. When a priority of the Republican Party is a new FBI building and a priority of the Democrats is you can have food tonight. It's twisted. It's a twisted narrative, and it frustrates me. And the final thing that I want to talk about today before we go is what Donald Trump said yesterday about postponing the election. He would have to have a constitutional amendment or interfere in state elections, and I don't trust him, and you should never. Donald Trump looks out for Donald Trump. So when he says he's just joking, not. When he claims that it was just a thought, it was not. He is a liar, a master manipulator. He is a grifting, low-life scumbag. So when he says things like that, turn on all the alarms. Get ready. Because he will try it. He will see if there's every avenue to do this. He will try to interfere. He will try to manipulate. He does not abide by the laws. He does not abide by the rules. We've seen this time and time again. Donald Trump is a cheat and a lie. Even people who typically vote for him said that this was the line that he should be impeached and removed for having said that. Because elections are supposed to be free and fair in this country. They are not supposed to be ruled and regulated. Donald Trump is not a king. he should not have the final say over when and if we get to vote. The DOJ should not intervene or interfere in when we get to vote. Unfortunately, the cronyism in Washington, D.C. has been so bold and blatant that it cannot be missed, even by foreign countries. Even they are talking about it. Donald Trump is despised and loathed worldwide, and for good reason. So you need to be on guard. You know, Michael Cohen, before he went to jail, and when he testified in front of Congress, he said, Donald Trump won't go. He will not go willingly. That's not who he is. And I listened to that man, and I understood what he was saying. He found a place of power. He's an egomaniac. He found a place to grift. He's a liar and a thief. He's going to try to keep this because this is the whole enchilada to him. This is everything he could ask for. Donald Trump found the greatest grift of his life. And he will do anything within his means to try to keep that. And last 4 years have been about selecting yes men who will absolutely go along with anything that he wants. It's been about intimidating anyone who would stand against him, forcing them out of politics, eliminating anyone that he could possibly if they countered him. So when Donald Trump says that he's just joking, well, he pinned the tweet to the top of his account. That's how much of a joke it was. It's not a joke. If he thinks he can't win, he's going to try to desperately do anything he can. One of the good parts of this is that Joe Biden today started saying, when I am elected, not if, when I am elected. Stand up, Joe Biden. Stand up, because we're about to fight for the heart of this nation, and people like me are willing to give it their all. This is my country. I will not live under a dictatorship. I will not have an authoritarian tell me what I can and can't do, and especially that one. He brought in the officers, the mercenaries, as a template to see how does this play out. More and more people showed up. It really didn't go the way he wanted, because the moms came out, and then the dads came out, and then the veterans came out. Because one thing that this nation is good at is standing up for itself. That's like a core American value. When you see an American, and this is why Trump fails the litmus test for being a good American, because the litmus test is typically that when you are an American, you defend your country. That is something that is honorable about this nation, is that many Americans truly know what it is to put country over party all day long. And when it comes down to it, that's what we have to be about. We have to be country over party all day long. I'm willing to work with Republicans to get him out of office. I may not like them. I may not like anything that they're about. John Kasich is supposed to speak at the Democratic National Convention. I think that they're doing it televised or whatever. I can't stand John Kasich. He is a lying, smart-mouthed, annoying, anti-woman man. And yet, I will work with him for long enough to save my country from Donald Trump. I will work with the people that I don't respect because my country comes first. And that's how we should all be. We should do what is best for the nation first, and then best for ourselves second. Now, I'm not talking about there's lines to be drawn all over the place, like a map, lines to be drawn. I wouldn't help them if they were doing something to save the country that then hurt millions of Americans intentionally. That's not where this is to save Americans. to save them all. And I don't care if you're Republican. I don't care if you think I'm wrong, stupid, or crazy. You know, this country, we can banter about our ideological differences, our difference in policies. But one thing we can't do is allow fascism to have full control. And then it doesn't matter what your policies are or my policies, because the only ones that remain are the fascist policies. Anyhow, we're about to wrap up. I will be back on Monday. I hope that you all sincerely have a great weekend. I'll be keeping track of all the news that is news so that I can bring it to you and we can sit here and talk about it, let it out, deal with it. I definitely think that you should read the Jared Kushner article in Vanity Fair. It is well worth the read. It is a little bit of a long article, but the reasoning is that the details in it are astounding. So give that a go. Hopefully this next week when Congress is back in session, we will get some kind of answer as to which way that we're going, because Congress has one more week before they go into recess for their vacation. So hopefully they'll be motivated to move ass and get some things done. And I'm not talking about Democrats. They already got their plan in place. Bipartisan, pass the House. Hopefully Republicans will relent and see that the HEROES Act would work for everyone, even if they have to negotiate to put some things in their, you know, their pork for corporations. So until Monday, I hope you have a great weekend. If you're looking to find me, I have an account on Patreon for the Pink Atheist. If you'd like to support the show, my name is Rachel Johnson on Facebook, and on Twitter, it is Rachel Osiris. I just want to thank you for joining me. I appreciate you listening to me babble on about my country and all that is good and bad in it. I hope that you have the greatest of weekends. Stay safe, wear your mask, do what's right by your countrymen. Don't spread that stupid virus, and especially if you're a Democrat, because we all know that now that they want you to die so that they can make this a political issue. Okay? Take care of yourselves, everyone, and everybody else.
They abandon their belief in the supernatural. Now you are asking me to sabotage that achievement, to send them back into the dark ages of superstition and ignorance and fear? No!
You are listening to the Pink Atheist Podcast with your host, Rachel Johnson.